Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Who would have ever thought this day would come? But this day has arrived. Right now, as we speak, in Irving, Texas, North Texas, of all the places we're going to talk about in just a moment, the first Sharia courts, and what's that mean? Islamic law being established in Texas, northern Texas. And we got to find out, you know, how is this thing, you know, we've been talking about this on VFN TV. The Lord laid it on our heart this was going to be happening. But this is so important. I encourage you to stay tuned to today's program and tomorrow's program, because we're going to be talking about how did this thing come to pass. And the first thing I want to be able to talk about is that, remember the United Nations when our president, President Barack Obama, was in the United Nations, and he said, you know, the future does not belong to who blaspheme the prophet of Islam. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. This is the president of the United States in the United Nations, which means before the entire world, he made this statement to the United Nations. Watch this.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. But to be credible, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate we see in the images of Jesus Christ that are desecrated, or churches that are destroyed.
That's so important to understand, because the first statement, the very first statement of the president is making right here, the future does not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet. It doesn't matter what you say after that, because right after saying that, if you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you say that he's the Son of God, think about this. You are considered blaspheming the prophet Muhammad, because Islam says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. And to say he is, then that's to say that you are blaspheming the prophet. So if the future does not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet, then that means the next statement that he made about, you know, Christians, you know, and coming against Christ is irrelevant, because, maybe he doesn't understand, but it says in the Quran, you can find this on the VFN Torch, we'll make this available to you, that when you're talking about, you know, acknowledging Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior, you know, of those who make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, the Son of God, think about this. They consider that blaspheme. This is before all the nations. Our president, the president of America, made this statement simultaneously as we're talking right now. The president has, you know, snuffed the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. And it was just stated just moments ago today, I believe it was, by, you know, Pastor John Hagee, that if we disrespect the Prime Minister, it could mean destruction of America. I mean, John Hagee out of Texas here. But understand, he just said the future does not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet Muhammad, which means you can't do anything. I mean, how many people right now are being, you know, stoned or burned to death or thrown off the top of a building in the areas where there's a caliphate? And we're going to talk about what is a caliphate and what is a Sharia court, because when you think about this, you're thinking, why is our president so involved in this? Because he's supposed to be defending America and protecting us from enemies, foreign and domestic. He takes an oath that says that he will keep enemies from coming against us to protect our borders. But his first speech in Cairo, his very first speech in Cairo, Egypt, when he became president, he went to Cairo University and he made this speech. And this kind of makes sense now, because he said, as a matter of fact, he says, it's my job to defend Islam, any negative type of stereotype of Islam where it's found in the world. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. You've got to see this.
So I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction that partnership between America and Islam must be based on what Islam is, not what it isn't. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Well, you know, I mean, everybody in America has the right to their own beliefs and their own faith. But as the President of the United States, the responsibility of the President is to defend you. You know, defend the Constitution of the United States and the people of America. That's why you actually elected him to be able to be there to keep our border safe and to protect his own personal life, you know, not as president. You know, he can, you know, practice his religion and whatever that is. But he said, I consider it my job. And now we're seeing across America now, think about that, across the world, this radical Islamic push for a caliphate. We're looking at people being beheaded. You saw earlier on a program where the Jordanian pilot was burned to death, you know, and this is like, what are you defending this for? And then all of a sudden, it's like the future doesn't even belong to those people who blasphemed the prophet. I said, what is happening? And of all the things that be going on right now, we have to pay so close attention to this because, I mean, think about Texas. When you think about Texas, it's the strongest state in America. I mean, it is the strong man, if you would. And you're looking at right now in northern Texas, a continuation of this whole mindset as Glenn Beck interviewed on his program just yesterday, an imam and I believe a professor from the Islamic faith where they have a Sharia court, the first Islamic tribunal court system, if you would, is being set up, a Sharia court, which means a court based on, you know, so for example, say we set up a court based on the Bible and it says this is what the Bible says and we do judgments based off that. Well, they're saying we're going to set up a Sharia court is based off the Quran and the different books of the Islamic law. And they're bringing people in. They're having court in Irving, Texas. And he's interviewing him. And we're going to talk after this. You got to understand, after this, we're going to talk about a secret meeting that just took place in the White House with Muslims that met in the White House and how the Lord even showed me in the basement of the White House there was a covenant made with Islam in our nation. Listen, America is at some perilous times right now. It's time for the church to rise up. But you got to see this interview. Watch this interview. These are the ones reportedly, according to the Blaze and Glenn Beck, program that is having this Sharia court, this tribunal in Irving, Texas. Think about that. Just right there by Dallas, Texas, they're having an Islamic court. Watch this interview. The first man is talking. He's the imam. Watch.
Despise. That's what the mistake, misconception. I'm very thankful to all of you that to help us to come here to clarify the situation. As we know that there is a criminal court and there is civil court. The criminal, we cannot, we have no way to discuss that.
No, I understand that.
Because all the time, scary tactics here, Sharia, no, in a way that cutting the hand off or chopping the head, this is not Sharia. This is not Sharia. What we see in overseas now, the ISIS, ISIL, and so on, the whole Muslim world condemned that and rejected it, unacceptable.
Not true.
Well, at least from our side to say, we condemn that.
So who is your... where's the Reformation come from then? Because you're saying that you okay. don't practice that kind of Sharia law.
Yes.
Who's the reformer that you look to that says?
We have for every Muslim actually that's a student of knowledge, or a scholar, or you know, to start. First of all, the Sharia law is not referred to the government, not referred to the civil. It was in the hand of scholars. Religious scholars
right.
to translate the text that mentioned in the Quran, and that's called the first resource of the law. But it means the Jews, they have their law, the Christians, they have law, also the Muslims, they have law. So the law, based on any, as we say to any Muslim, wherever you are living, if you have a problem, first to say what God says in the book.
But
then you go to
Jews
the next.
And, Jews and Christians don't believe that man making laws is an abomination, where it's my understanding that in the Islamic culture, man doesn't make laws, God makes laws, and that's Sharia law. And so,
who's behind the Sharia? The Sharia means a holy text mentioned, whether general or specific. For example, Muslims, we do not drink alcohol. Why? Because God says in the Quran, don't drink alcohol.
Right.
When we don't eat swine, for example, prohibited. So the law of prohibition and permissibility is mentioned in the Quran. Even when we pray and when we respect our parents, we respect the elders, all this in the law. I mean, this is not only, my point really I want to make clear here, is not the issue of cutting the hands and even the criminal law. It's not just because somebody steal and then cut the hand. It's not that way. I mean, there is a system of investigation and a system of hearing and a system of
right.
finding out if it's a criminal. We have execution in the, just recently somebody executed in the jail because confessed and
but there's
proven
a separation.
Beyond doubt.
There's a separation here. I mean, I think no, you I mean, both, the I think you both, but I think
punishment.
You both will, I'm assuming you both would say, the Constitution is great, but God willing, you would rather live under Sharia law, under Islamic rule.
But the point, if we understand what the intents and the objectives and the principles of the Islamic law, from Islamic perspective, to say what the goal to achieve, what the desire of God intended from these laws, we have five major departments: to preserve the faith for the individual, regardless what his faith is, whether Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, doesn't matter, in the society, to protect the soul, that nobody to attack without any right, I mean any right, if not violated by a human being, that he did not commit a crime to be deserving the punishment, then will be Islam very sure and very clear and very strict that nobody has a right to violate and attack this innocent person, as we see today done by many so-called ISIS, ISIL, or others. This is not Islamic Sharia, by the way. Or to protect the mind, or to preserve the mind, or preserve the offspring, the children, and the wealth, the fifth one. So these all the objectives of the Sharia, of Islamic law, to say, that's called Sharia in Arabic, that to preserve all these points. It's not just cutting or chopping, or this is not the issue. The issue of that, this criminal, we have nothing to do. Let's go back to the point. We are here today. We are here, we're dealing with the issue of family disputes, and we mediate and we arbitrate. They ask us to, we need help. What Islam says, because a lot of ignorance among the Muslims themselves. So what we should do? What should I do as a wife? Where to go? What do you advise me to do? Do I have the right?
Can you believe this? He says, but what about cutting off hands and cutting off heads? He's like, we have a system to that. But that system's not supposed to be in America. We have to wake up. Understand this. We're about to go to break. We're going to see this other professor, Islamic professor, I believe he is speaking in just a moment from this interview. These things, you have to understand, this is in Texas. This is the first Islamic tribunal in all of America. And you would have thought it would have been Dearborn, Michigan, but it's actually Irving, Texas that they're setting this up. This is a strategy. It is a strategy of the adversary. A storm is being fashioned against America and the church. Listen, church, you're going to have to rise up and repent and turn. We're going to have to turn back to God, because this can only happen if God allows it to happen in our nation. And it's time for us to turn. When we get back, you're going to hear this other man begin to speak about, yeah, we want to cut off hands. We want to cut off heads. We got to wake up. They're talking about hands. They're talking about, you know, cutting off hands, cutting off feet. This imam is talking about that, you know, he it has nothing to do with that. And it's like, what are you talking about? Has nothing to do with that. And the man sitting right beside him, who is part of this whole tribunal being set up right now, he begins to explain it. Now, this is the same interview. And you have the imam saying, which, by the way, for imam, just so you understand, that they're the ones that head up a mosque. And they're like, you know, for Christians, you know, we have a preacher or a minister who ministers, and you go and listen to them speak, or him or her speak. Well, in regards to Islam, you have an imam, and they're the ones that speak. And so he was speaking from the authority that he feels like he's been giving by the Quran and Islam and all. And so now this professor, or this man sitting with him in the interview, begins to break it down a little bit more, because he just said it has nothing to do with cutting off the hands, cutting off heads, and that which we're seeing take place right now, you know, in the Middle East. We're seeing it take place. Americans, you know, are losing their lives. Jordanian palace being burned to death. And they're talking about it. And listen to the reasoning behind why they think this is a good thing. Because this man, they're very truthful. This man right here, the imam wasn't as truthful based on reports of what the particular Iranian attorney that was on Glenn Beck's program that day, which you can find out, that's what he states. But he says this man that's about to talk right now, he was honest as he can be. As a matter of fact, watch this.
Sharia, why the people afraid from Sharia? I'm sorry to say it, one point related to this. A cut head is not just in Sharia law, just in Islamic law, it's everywhere. Who said that just in Islamic law? That's even another Sharia, in Jewish Sharia, in Christian Sharia, in American here, we cut head for some reason. So I'm asking you an easy question. If anyone kill another, he should get killed by law, by Islamic law, by governor, by he should get killed. What is the wrong with that? If a thief jump, I'm sorry, to your house, scare your wife, scare your children, scare your neighbor, and they did that with our stores, this is the law to cut his hand, because if he feels my hands will cut because of that, he will think about this 100 times. He will never do it. And if he do that one time, he will never do it again. Look how many millions of dollars American here or other state or other state outside spend for to keep the criminal in jail, or a lot of millions of dollars. We can't save that. Just let him go, and that's it. Because he did something wrong in the whole community, and they scared the whole community. Why not? So back, please, to the point. Islamic tribunal. Yes, we never deal with anything of that. It is not. We don't have authority for that. We don't have power for that.
But I want to make sure
we just have two cases.
But you're okay. You seem to be okay with that. If you had the power for that. No, but you don't have the power.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We, as Imam said, we have system. We are right. Very organized people.
Right.
If sorry for this example, la qadr Allah, somebody killed my dad, I shouldn't kill him.
Right.
I have to take this case
correct.
To the judge,
correct.
And judge have to control the governor.
Correct.
This is system procedure. I have to follow. So it is not like this, one call this, let's get him killed. No, no way. We have very, I give you just an easy example for leader Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He sent one to Yemen, and he told him, before he leaves, he asked him, always as a habit, what did you do if the people bring a thief for you? He said, I will cut his hand. Okay. He said, you do that. Okay. Umar said, this is the behind, after Prophet Muhammad, after Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad, he said, okay, if one person came with me without work, unemployed, I will cut your head. Because he has no job. So if you rob something from the store or grab something from here to eat, nothing happened to you. So, but if you have your job, and you enough income, and you take care about your children, and you have house, and you have car, and you robber from any store, or thief from here or there, you have. So this is the law. But please, the point with Sharia, I ask people, we are not here to do that at all. It is not our authority, it's not our power, it's not our job. We have specific people to do that stuff. And those people have full of power and full of authority, full of knowledge too. So we are not dealing with these cases at all. It's not our job. And our cases is family cases, just religious part. That's it.
Even the point that you mentioned, Dr. Tahir, I mean, sure. There is a procedure that there is a judge hearing sessions to investigate and find out that to bring the proof and the evidences beyond doubt that this man, he committed the crime,
mm-hmm.
whether to confess or other evidences or witnesses that saw, the same with the system we see in the civil world right. today. Then after all this procedure now, found out that there's no doubt that
absolutely.
This man, he committed this crime,
mm-hmm.
not for the hunger, not for the employment or whatever the reason, excuses, you know, there is an excuse and doubtful. You know, that doubt of what's called reasons of doubt.
This is amazing. This is totally, totally amazing that, you know, what is taking place right now. This is in Texas. This is in Texas, northern Texas. This was interview was yesterday. This is less than 24 hours ago. And we understand we are a land of laws. We don't need Sharia law in America. We have the Constitution. There is a strategy to undo the Constitution in our nation. Understand that God has allowed us to have this freedom in America, and it's constitutional right, that all of our rights come from God. And they're talking about an entire different legal system, and they're talking about, by the way, katan, katad, that means cut your hand off, cut your head off. And at the same time, just reports today's coming out today, where they are having secret meetings, reportedly, in the White House with Islam. CBN News is reporting that they're having secret meetings. We'll be talking about that after this break, but it's like, we have to wake up. This is happening right under our nose. We have to get back into the Word of God and understand what God says in His Word, and we got to get back into the Constitution and find out that you have a constitutional right. There's only 530 people in, elected people in Washington, D.C. All there is 530, that's it. And there's 320 million approximately people in America. You're the one. It's government by the people and for the people. But God's going to take this country away from us if we don't wake up and begin to honor Him and honor the Constitution that He's allowed us to have here. We're going to have to wake up. We're going to have to do our homework. We're going to have to do the hard work. We're going to have to abide with the Lord. And we've got to begin to pay attention, because a storm is being fashioned against this nation. It's kind of hard to believe, but evil exists to the point where you saw just last week a Jordanian pilot being burned to death, and children being buried alive and being crucified and being beheaded. We have to wake up. And you heard Rick Joyner talk about of Morningstar Ministries, when God showed him that alarm that was going on, and all of a sudden, worse things were happening in America than happens over in the Middle East, and says that ISIS and Al-Qaeda would actually disassociate themselves from what's going to happen in America. It's going to be so bad. We have to wake up.
This is a tragic day for America. We were hoping this day wouldn't come, but this is a tragic day. It has come. And of all the states, understand, this is what the creator of the universe said. This is what Jesus said. He said, every family, every household, and every nation divided against itself will fall. So the secret to defeating anything is to divide it. And everything that can be divided has been divided. It's amazing what's going on. I mean, just look at all the division that's taking place. There's a strategy unfolding. And now the strong state, Texas, they're coming in. You know, strategy against the state. They had the governor arrested for trying to protect the southern borders. I mean, we have to wake up, and the things that are being shown. And right today on CBN News, they're reporting in regards to, you know, Islam. He says to CBN News, the White House has finally released the names of the Muslim advocates President Barack Obama met with in the White House last week. For several days, the White House official refused to tell journalists who attended the secretive closed-door meeting. They relented after White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest came under pressure in the particular briefing that he took. And so they're talking about the Islamic Society of North America met with the president right after, you know, this tragedy in the world. Listen, this thing, there has been a covenant. There's been a covenant made. I don't know this in the sense of it happening, but there's been a covenant. There's been a covenant made that in the basement of the White House, the Lord showed me. He took me in a vision, and He showed me. And I was in the White House. I was in the basement. This is just a vision. You know, this is a vision. It was so real that I'm talking to the people that I saw it, and they said, I don't know anything about it. And all I can know is I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. But there was a covenant made with Islam in the White House, and it was the beginning of this current administration. And understand what that means, that Islam, its prophet is Muhammad, and he says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and that the Quran says that he has to come back. Jesus will come back, but he'll repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he will assist their God, who comes out of a hole in the ground, to be able to put a mark on everyone. We have this available to you. We got everything available for you on the VFN Torch, but this is how satanic this whole thing is. But the whole thing is that what we saw happen to the Jordanian pilot, what we saw happen to the children, what we're seeing happen to the Yazidis, what we're seeing happen to all the, as a matter of fact, just reports right now, it's just been verified that the young missionary, Fox News is reporting, remember they were talking about the one hostage is over there?
Yes.
That the family confirms her death today, that this female hostage has been killed. And you might be able to see her picture coming up right now. But I think her name is Kayla. Parents of Kayla Mueller is her name. And understand, for so long now, the church has been, you know, Christians have been, you know, trying to be children of the dark and children of the light. They've been walking in, you know, what's the big deal? I'll just play around with the devil. I'll do some stuff with the devil, but I'm also going to serve God. And we have this whole teaching, this whole conversation about children of the light versus children of the dark, and what God specifically showed me about that, that we cannot have both. You got to choose who you're going to serve. And this whole thing is happening because God wants to know where our allegiance is. This is a decision point for us. The decision is for us to go, you know what? As for me and my house, I mean, these are like the days of Elijah. We're at the top of a peak where God is saying, choose who you're going to serve. You know, who's going to be your God? We can't play around. We cannot. There's not this leniency anymore in regards to, you know, this. We've been so blessed as a nation, and a nation can be so blessed that you can be stupid for a long time, John. You know what I mean?
I know that's right.
And as we speak, we talked about this before, but Valerie Jarrett was born, the assistant, the best friend, eat popcorn with the president and the first lady every single night, was born in Iran, and now she's openly saying today what we said earlier on our program. And she's been organizing with all the mayors and the community going around Congress. And when you hear the word saying we're going to go around Congress, they've done such a good job of changing the narrative. You don't even realize probably to go around Congress means to go around you, because Congress is your representative. That's the closest person that you have that represents you. When they say we want to go around Congress, and she actually said it on CBS News, she said, my job is to go around Congress. We've been going around Congress. Yeah. And that means going around you. But now look, you see this rise of Islam in America, radical Islam. We're hearing Kamal Saleem talk about with Qum Ministries how potentially 500,000 jihadists have come across our borders with a big rush of people in the midst of all those innocent children that came over in the midst of that. And look what Valerie Jarrett is saying right now. John, what's happening right now? You already see her picture right now.
This was said at Stanford University, and she's quoted as saying, I am Iranian by birth. Of my Islamic faith, I'm also an American citizen, and I seek to help change America to be more an Islamic country. My faith guides me, and I feel like it's going well in the transition of using freedom of religion in America against itself. Hosea 4:6, says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And it's time for us to wake up and realize there's a strategy being formed.
Can you read that one more time?
Yeah. Listen to this.
First of all, wait, you got to set the stage for this. Now, before Barack Obama was president, that his wife, the first lady, Michelle Obama, was great friends with, and before she was even married to him, was great friends with Valerie Jarrett. And you can see this on VFN Torch. We have all this available for you. And so they were friends. Valerie Jarrett was friends with Michelle Obama. They were close friends. And so... So Michelle introduces Barack Obama, her to-be husband, to
Valerie Jarrett.
And this is Valerie talking about this. We have this available for you. She did it on an interview in C-SPAN. When they found this is what the statement was, that he listens to his wife. Mm-hmm. This is somebody that we can get behind, basically, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
And so they chose Barack Obama to be the president. This is what his pastor said. This is what the pastor Reverend Jeremiah Wright, he says, you have to understand that he was selected before he was elected, and he has to be able to do what people who selected. In other words, there was a trade-off, and we're seeing what the trade-off was, and it's like Valerie's now saying the reason why, I mean, you put all this together based on this report, when Valerie Jarrett, who is she sits and has dinner with the president every single night. She's the one in every single meeting. When you think about spiritually speaking, she is that one who sits in the back who's truly in control, that all of his authority has been seduced. And he's basically, I mean, you think about Jezebel and Ahab, how that was going. She was really determining where things were going in the context of that. You know, where does the true authority lie? And she has in her office, she has a picture, and hopefully you'll get a chance to see this, but she has a picture of herself, and she has men bowing down to her in the picture, little images of men. Mm-hmm. Like little models of men bowing down to her. And it's like you think that's just humorous at first. You're thinking like, oh, my goodness. And now you're finding out this Iranian-born friend who chose the president be the president. Hold on. So in that, understand where you're wondering, why didn't we stop Iran from having nuclear powers? Why aren't we stopping Iran? Why are we letting Iran bring in all these weapons to Gaza? Why are we so supportive of Iran? Why didn't we help the Green Party when they sent a letter requesting help from the president? Now we're finding out because Valerie Jarrett, who was born there, doesn't obviously want that. She supports the caliphate concept. She supports the, you know, her version of Islam. As a matter of fact, read this one more time. Understanding all that now, this is what Valerie Jarrett said. When did she say this?
She said this at Stanford, at the college, at the University of Stanford.
When?
We don't have an exact time on that. But this is her direct quote. I'm an Iranian by birth and of my Islamic faith. I am also an American citizen, and I seek to help change America to be a more Islamic country. My faith guides me, and I feel like it is going well in the transition of using freedom of religion in America against itself.
So you're looking at, we're finding out right now why this is all happening. Mm. Why was he selected? He was selected. And think, this can totally happen. You know, just understand it can happen. You can be selected for a particular political office. People get behind you and they can promote you. We need to pray for our president.
Yes.
We need to pray for him. We need to pray his protection over him. We've been praying for over almost 6 years now, maybe 5 or 6 years, because some of the things the Lord has shown us that the enemy wants to do harm to our nation. It wants to do harm to our first family. Mm-hmm. And you look what's happening. So if, in fact, you know, she's the one that appears to be the one in leadership.
Yeah, she's the longest advisor that stayed here with the president over these last years.
Well, she's the one that chose him.
Yeah.
She said she chose him when she was sitting on C-SPAN. Mm-hmm. She chose him. And we're not talking politics here. We're talking, dear God, wake up, church. Yeah. We have to wake up. You have to shake yourself. This is not the movies. This is the real deal. And understand, Islam is anti-Jesus Christ as the Son of God religion. It's not real. That's what they really believe. They believe that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. So she's saying, we want America to be more of an anti-Christ, anti-Jesus as the Son of God religion.
That's right.
And so to be able to say the future does not belong to those who blaspheme the prophet is repeating the words potentially of Valerie Jarrett, who told President Barack Obama, when you're at the United Nations, you let them know. And it totally makes sense now. And when you say, what's happening? This is what's happening. A storm is being fashioned against America. This is not, you know, they talked about this in Acts chapter 4. They say, you know, why do kings, you know, plan and plot against you, God? Why do they do these things? Why do they wage war against your people? But understand, this is why it's happening here, because the American church is in rebellion. Mm. We have to wake up, quit playing, church, get rid of everything that's not God. Every idol has to go. We got to humble ourselves, and we got to say, dear God, we need you. And we talked about in an earlier program about positioning yourself like Jehoshaphat. Yes, we've made some bad covenants. We got in with some wrong agreements with wrong nations, but we can humble ourselves as a people. No matter what happens in the nation as a whole, understand the church can humble ourselves and God can turn things around. You look at this whole radicalness where they basically just said rebellion, loose rebellion on America. You know, you can legalize marijuana. You can release, I was talking to some of my contacts at the Justice Department, and they were saying that that Eric Holder is wanting to release criminals in the streets. You have marriage going this way, and every law that can be broken or changed is being changed. Why? Because look at this. When Islam comes in, if it comes in, radical Islam, all those folks who chose to go away with rebellion, based on what's presently happening right now in the Middle East, is they're going to be beheaded. Your hands are going to be cut off. Mm-hmm. You're going to be hands tied behind your back and pushed off a tall building. You're going to be burned alive. Your children are going to be killed. And this is how they see how they're going to manage folks. They create all the rebellion, and all of a sudden it says Islam is the answer.
Yeah.
Islam is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only true God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Understand, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's time that we have to wake up and say, you know what? It is happening. We get back from this break. I know that you have something to say. We want to say that. But we're going to talk about, you know, what is a caliphate? Because we just don't know what that really is. It's happening, you know, as we speak right now. But go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, you know, we can't be ignorant, because today they want to cut the hand of the thief, but tomorrow is the head of the Christian and the Jews.
It's happening right now.
It's happening.
Because of this. Understand this, that when they tell you, you acknowledge Muhammad, and you find out that if you do this, as one of the particular federal former investigators said on Fox News, I believe with Kelly or Greta, he said, that's every man's test. Mm. This is the test. Will you deny Jesus Christ? Because if you say Muhammad is authentically from God,
you say, then Jesus is not. The moment you do that, you've denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and you seal your destiny unless you repent. And now you realize
that's right.
This is what happened. This is what's happening. A day of reckoning is coming to America. You're going to have to choose. You're going to have a choice is easy, but you're going to have to choose. And he told us that our journey will be no different than his. And if he suffered, the teacher suffered, the student may suffer too. We've been blessed, yes, but we're going to have to choose. I want to quickly go right now to a CBN segment explaining what is a caliphate. Take a look at this and we'll be right back.
Pat, speaking of growth, both Boko Haram and ISIS have declared their own Islamic caliphate. Boko Haram established theirs in Nigeria last August. It now controls about 130 towns and villages. And ISIS also established its caliphate this past summer in July. Still, most of the world doesn't really understand what an Islamic caliphate is or why it's important to Muslims. Here's Chris Mitchell now from Jerusalem.
When a terrorist leader boldly declared a new caliphate, it sent shockwaves throughout the Middle East.
The so-called Islamic State became the first caliphate in nearly 100 years. When Abu al-Baghdadi made his announcement, other groups like Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood condemned it. Regardless of the internal competition, the caliphate would be a dream come true in the Islamic world.
This dream holds together some kind of a feeling that under the caliphate there is going to be a wonderful Islamic world. There's going to be a unity of all the Muslims. There is going to be a world power that cannot be matched by anything.
Islamic expert Professor Moshe Sharon says the caliphate began after the death of Muhammad.
Immediately after the Prophet's death, somebody from the Islamic community had to lead the community. In Arabic, the word caliph is a substitute, somebody who takes the place of.
A long line of these caliphs have ruled during Islam's 1400-year history.
This huge empire which was created was called the caliphate, mm-hmm. which means this huge territory with huge Islamic community at the head of which mm-hmm. there is somebody who substitutes, basically they say to substitute the prophet, but it's not true. Basically somebody who substitutes God himself, mm-hmm. because God is in heaven, somebody has got to look after the faithful on earth, mm-hmm. and of course he is the caliph.
On earth, the caliph fights the non-Muslim world, called the House of War.
It's a mistake to think that he is like the Pope of the Muslims. He is a political and military leader that under him all the Islamic world is united, and of course the war and the fighting against the Christian world would be far easier.
Today the jihadist offensive in the Middle East stretches from Gaza to Iraq.
It's all part of an offensive move by forces that may have different names, ISIS, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade, you know, what have you. But they're all on a mission, and that mm-hmm. is to build a caliphate.
Middle East expert Joel Rosenberg says for these Muslims, it's a religious war.
To kill every Jew and Christian in their way,
mm-hmm.
and to kill every Muslim that doesn't believe in a radical way that they believe. And this is a move. And why is it happening now? In part, it's happening because they believe that the time for the caliphate has come.
Sharon says Jerusalem is the prize and world domination their goal.
The major aim of the caliphate is to rule the world. Mm-hmm. And this can be done under the leadership of one caliph who he himself only can declare a holy war, a jihad.
More than a decade after 9/11, the West is still coming to grips with Islam's holy war. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Here we are at this one moment right now. It's all coming to pass. We've been talking about this. We've been saying it. But I want to give a quick vocabulary lesson, and then we're going to say something so important. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. I'll give you the vocabulary test because I needed to refresh myself on these, and we have to understand again what these words mean. The first word we're going to talk about is oath. What does the word oath mean? And we're going to move quickly because we have a limited amount of time. Oath is a solemn appeal to a deity or to some reverent person or a witness of one's determined to speak the truth. So when somebody has an oath, this is what the truth they're saying. The next word I want to be able to talk about is absolutely. What does the word absolutely mean? And absolutely means without exception, completely, wholly, and entirely. The next word is entirely. What does entirely mean? wholly, fully, complete, unreservedly, solely exclusive. The next word is renounce. Renounce. Renounce means to give up or put aside voluntarily, to give up by formal declaration. The next word for the vocabulary is adjure. What does adjure mean? This is all going to make sense to you, but you just got to hear these words. Adjure means to renounce, to repudiate, to retract, especially with formal solemnity, recant, to take back, to renounce, to do away with. The next word is allegiance. Allegiance is defined as the loyalty of a citizen to his or her government or of a subject of his or her sovereign connection or loyalty or devotion to some person, some group, some cause, some nation. The next word, fidelity. Fidelity means strict observance of promises, duties, and loyalty. And the next word is foreign. Foreign is relating to or derived from another country or a nation or a native. So foreign means another country. The next word is prince. The word prince means a non-reigning male member or of a royal family. The next word is foreign. Foreign means a person who possesses a potentate. The next word is potentate. Is a person who possesses great power as a sovereign or a monarch. And finally, state. State is defined as relating to the central civil government or authority. And sovereignty. Sovereignty is defined as the quality or state of being sovereign. And sovereign is a monarch, a kingdom, a queen, supreme ruler. And why do I say that? I want you to take a look at this. This is the oath that you have to take to be able to be, you see it on your screen right now, right back here, is to be able to be a citizen of America. This is what the oath says. The oath says, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and adjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been subject to or citizen of, that I will support and defend the Constitution, not the caliphate, the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States of America, which is required by law, that I will perform non-combatant services of the armed forces of the United States with required to do so by the law, and that I will perform work of national importance under the civil direction when required to do so. Listen, when you start seeing caliphates and you start seeing this rise of Islam, it is against this very nation. They have not yet denied all their loyalty to other countries and other sovereignties. Let me say it one more time, and then we're going to pray with you, because this is so intense. This is the oath that you have to do. And our president takes an oath of office. Our military takes an oath. Our Congress, our Senate, everybody takes the oath. But listen, this is the oath you got to take to be a citizen. That's why they took away the Pledge of Allegiance, because this is what you're pledging allegiance to, is the Constitution of the United States. Let me say it one more time with those definitions. I hereby declare with an oath what I am telling you before witnesses is true, that I absolutely, without exception, completely and wholly, and entirely, wholly, fully, completely, unreservedly, solely, and exclusively, renounce, give up, put aside, voluntarily, give up by formal declaration, and adjure, which means renounce, repudiate, retract, give up under oath, all allegiance, loyalties, devotions, and fidelity, strict observance of promises and duties to any foreign country or nation, prince, any member of a royal family, potentate, a person of great power, such as the caliphate in Islam, and any civil government authority or sovereignty, any state or monarch, king, queen, or supreme ruler, which has supreme power and authority, of whom which I heretofore, which means which I had up to this point been loyal to, I actually break those loyalties off, and I am subject to and I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. This is it. We have to wake up. It's time for us to realize this is that moment. And when you see a caliphate, right, that's against the laws of this land and it's against the Constitution. Join us in our next program. We're going to break this down more. Catch us next time. But John, lead us in prayer right now. Let's just pray.
Lord, we just come before you, God. We thank you that Jesus is Lord. Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to protect our nation, God.
Yes.
Lord, put a hedge of protection, Lord, that every demonic strategy that's formed against America and your people and Israel, God, will not prosper. We ask you, Lord, send revival. Call America back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Right now, we're going to go straight to Breitbart in what regards to the internet and what's taking place with net neutrality. Listen to this.
FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler's much-anticipated net neutrality rules are barreling toward a final vote later this month, but they're almost guaranteed to become immediately mired in legal challenges. Telecom giants are deeply uneasy about Wheeler's plan to regulate broadband like a utility, and they're widely expected to drag the chairman to court. That could ensnare the FCC in a bruising multi-year fight that outlasts not only Wheeler, but the man who pushed him to take a stronger approach, President Barack Obama.
Hey, Breitbart's reporting right here in regards to this is FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input.
Which means bypass the people.
Bypass you. That's what that means, wherever you are. I don't know where you're at, but bypass you. Let me say that again. FCC, so Breitbart's reporting, FCC Commissioner, Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input. In other words, avoid your input. Congress is you. Congress. How many congressmen per 100,000 folks? There's out of every 700,000 people in your state, there is one congressman or congresswoman, congressperson that represents you. And so every 700,000, so if you have a greater population, if you only have 700,000, for example, in your state, you only have one congressperson. But if you have twice that much, you have two.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the greatest proportion of representative government that you have. And understand what they're saying. They're saying is to go around you, 700,000 folks, or how many representatives you have, mm-hmm. we went ahead and decided to be able to do something different. We don't want your input. They've convinced, they had such a constant narrative that people actually disassociate their own representatives from their own representatives. It's like the right hand disassociating itself from the left hand. Those people in Congress are people that you sent there. They're the ones that represent you. You can pick the phone up. You can, you know, as somebody's mother says, I brought you in this world. I can take you out of this world. You have representative government. They represent you. And it's okay. Don't feel intimidated by your employee, your representative. They represent you. We have to wake up. When somebody says they're going to go around Congress, they're going around you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. To go around one congressperson, that's to go around 700,000 people in your state. How many people's in your city? How many cities do you have to add up to know what they just went around? When you hear about Valerie Jarrett, the woman who professed to be, I selected the president before he was elected, when you combine what Jeremiah Wright said, mm-hmm. what she said on C-SPAN that we have in there, that she's going around Congress. That's her job. She said, my job is to go around Congress and to meet with all the mayors. Mm. And at some point, we got to wake up and say, there people are going around us, and we have to say, represent us, represent our government. So they said FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler recently acknowledged that the two Democrats on the commission had decided to avoid congressional input, in other words, to avoid your particular input regarding the internet by adopting President Franklin Roosevelt's 1934 Communications Act in regard to the internet. We're naming the federal control of like the old AT&T customer monopoly that was going on.
But I think in 1936, I don't think the internet was around back in 1936.
Well, you know what they're saying is that the law that was used to be able to go in to do control AT&T, which took 30 something years to bust it up because remember there's a monopoly they put on there. They're wanting to put a monopoly based on what these are saying here. It looks like on the internet where and it's totally controlled. You know, by that, and I remember, you know, during the bust up of the baby bells and all that was going on, and that was, you know, part of that even industry that's happening.
But they, you're sitting here saying, they're saying they went back to be able to go around you, to go around Congress, its reports is, that they're going to, they plan on adopting the President Roosevelt's 1934 Communication Act to regulate the internet with the same federal control as they did the old AT&T customer monopoly to make sure that the libertarian advocates would remain in the dark. Wheeler embargoed release of any specifics about the new policies that are going on. The internet economy goes on to say the internet economy was if it was a country, it would rank fifth behind the United States, China, Japan, and India. Wow. If the internet was a country,
wow,
the article says that it would rank fifth behind U.S., China, Japan, and India. When somebody says they want to control the fifth largest nation in the world, the internet, think about that, the economy. And economic activity on the internet totals $4.2 trillion, almost half of the Earth's 7 billion people are already connected to the web. What is the one thing that happened in regards to, I guess, Valerie Jarrett's plan was, is to get everybody a cell phone, get everybody connected to the internet. What's going on here? I remember something, you know, and our hearts go out to, you know, the survivors of the Holocaust and what took place. Yes. But what they did was they put numbers, they put tracking systems on people. At that time, all they had was a basic ledger and tattooing and all. But the ability to control people, and if you would have heard the earlier program in regards to this Sharia court that's going on in North Texas, Texas, come on, encourage us. That North Texas, they said that we have systems. We have strategies. When you think about it, there was a documentary done called Quran by Heart. It was done by, I can't tell you the documentary it was done by, but they have all this computer technology where they're actually judging like a talent show of how much Quran and how people sing the morning prayer. Children would sing the morning prayer and they give them points. And these kids were singing prayers. They didn't even know what they meant, but they were singing them in Arabic, but they didn't speak Arabic. And they flew them in basically from different nations. And it was totally technical. It wasn't, even they talk about going back to the 14th century. I mean, they were like in, you know, they were today in regards to technology. And so you're looking at, it makes me think about this. It makes me think about, you know, I believe it's Revelation chapter 13 or 12, when he says, you know, that there's going to be an economy. There's going to be an economy. It's all going to be about the economy. And in this economy, it's going to be set up by a beast, somebody who has the heart of Satan, has the mind of darkness. And it's going to be an economic system set up. And nobody's going to be able to buy or sell without the mark, the chip, the code. Think about it. It's happening right now. To give up the, it's, listen to me, America. To give up the internet is to turn that over to darkness. You think it's bad now with corporate world? Corporate world's into profits. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll adjust based on the fact of, hey, if we want to make money, we got to go this way. But when evil folks who want to do evil, and I believe Google's comments were do no evil is what they said, but to turn over the internet to government, understand what can happen at that point. We're just pushing this thing on in to, yeah. And God, I remember I was sitting, God gave me this vision, this night vision, and I'm sitting in this pod, if you would, and you think about, you know, corporate offices in the city, and they have just lots of little small little sitting office areas, you know, and people were just entering data. And there was a whole bunch of people like that, you know, like a call center or something. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it just came to me when I was there that all this data is being entered in so people could be controlled and monitored. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden in this night vision, I got up and everybody had their own little bulletin board and a whiteboard. And I wrote on the bulletin board because you couldn't say nothing. You know, this day's coming, by the way. This freedom that we have now, you mean you better say everything you can say, because God may turn the tide and we won't be shut down in the context of this. But think about every regret you have if you didn't say it. But anyway, so I got up in front of this, you know, this big, large office complex where everybody's entering this data. And the only way I could communicate was to write on this board. And I wrote on the board, this is the mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast. And we are in those days. I don't know, you know, who selected our president other than, you know, Valerie's claiming right. She did. she did when she was on an interview with C-SPAN. You can see that, Valerie Jarrett. She says, you know, very specifically that, you know, she, her goal is to be able to make America an Islamic nation, I guess.
Yes.
An Islamic nation. We have that on our previous program. You can see that. And she's born in Iran. We said that in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Now we're understanding why, you know, why didn't they help the Green Party in Iran when they were kicking women and stoning mm-hmm. them and hurting, killing people who were protesting? We helped every state except for the Iranian people. And now we have Pastor Saeed right in Iran. They won't release him. And now we got these kind words shooting out supposedly about Saeed. It's like, wait a minute. You don't care. You could overnight you could free Saeed. You could have him free, especially if Valerie is in tight. And then you think about the nuclear weapons that's coming in, the nuclear plants that are being forwarded and moved on in Iran. And you know, we think about America. America is so large. You're thinking like, oh, this is just like 7,000 miles away, and it's like Israel, this widest point is like 60, 70 miles wide. Then you have Jordan. Then you have Iran. You have Iraq and Iran. Understand this, that if Iran gets nuclear power, nuclear weapons, they're going to fire those weapons and begin to obviously create a caliphate.
Yeah.
And it looks like, you know, some sort of Islamic rule. And ISIL, when you hear the word ISIL, that's the Levant, just so you know, that's a geographical statement that was actually promised to the Arab people, the Muslim people, after World War I, and they were denied it, and they're going to say they want it back. And here we are in this particular day where she's openly saying, you know, reports are, mm-hmm. I don't know, you tell me who the reports are saying this, that this has been her goal all along. And it totally makes sense. And she feels very comfortable that the freedom of religion is allowing this to take place. We got to make up our mind. Are we a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation? Do all of our laws and our rights come from God? Or are we some sort of system set up by some religious system, by some beast system? We got to make up our mind. Is Jesus going to be the Lord of our country? Are we going to honor God? Are we going to honor the Jewish and the Christian God, mm-hmm. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or not?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.